All right, now let's turn, please, to this book of Revelation, chapter 6. And seal number 5. Seal number 5. And when I'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they have. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. I have sought to give you the climactic position of this book in regard to the whole of the Bible. The Bible would not be complete without it. And the prophecies of the Bible would not be fulfilled without it. And this final great conclusion brings all these threads and these lines that have been in God's prophetic schedule, brings them all together. And we finally end up with the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth right. My God's been good to tell us where we are, what our troubles are, how He's going to deliver us, and how it's all going to be concluded, and how in the final consummation, in the final great conclusion, this little earth will be a place of peace and order and righteousness, be a new earth and a new heaven. I have sought to show you that there are two great characters that are on the stage in these last days. One is the Lamb who is in heaven, and He opens the seal. The other is the beast who's on the earth, trying to manage it all and bring it all together. And he'll be the great man of peace, but he'll have trouble having it. And we have pointed out in these last two messages, especially, that here in Revelation chapter 6, the horses, the white horse, the red horse, the pale horse, and the black horse, the man that rides on each horse is the same man. Different representations of this one great Antichrist. This man of sin who is to be revealed when the church is caught up and the people of God are taken to be with the Lord. Now we come to a seal, which is seal number 5, in which we have a glimpse of what's happening there in heaven. And then we come to seal number 6, and here we see the effects in nature. The sun, the earthquake, the moon, and the physical world about us is affected. God, who controls it, will be using it as a part of His great shaking and the great wrath and the great judgment. As we get in a little further into these, we'll see the way in which these judgments fall, these plagues, these scorpions, the things that injure and hurt the body of man, and how man is going to suffer physically. But we'll get into that. But tonight I want to take this section where we have this group in heaven whose souls are under the altar. And next Sunday night, the Lord willing, I'm going to get into the sun and the moon and the stars, the sun being turned into blood and the moon being darkened, and the effects of nature. Not only have we the effects of sin in our bodies and we die, but the effects of sin may be seen in the physical world, in nature. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Man was cursed, and his curse was death. But the consequence of that curse was reflected in the physical world in which we live. Consequently, we have earthquakes, we have storms, we have lightning, we have thunder, and lightning kills people and other things. All of these things are the physical reflection of the awful calamity that's been pronounced upon man. And this will all be removed. It's all going to be taken off. The curse upon the animal kingdom, they'll not hurt nor devour in all my holy kingdom. That's all going to be lifted up. But the heart of it goes to man. Man has sinned. This sin has corrupted his soul. It stained him. He's under condemnation, and the penalty is death. Now we arrive at this place where we catch a vision of the heavens itself and what's going on up there. And I behold the fifth seal, he says, and he looked at this seal and he saw the strangest sight. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they have. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell upon the earth? Now, when you take a passage like this, and you look at it, who could that be? How is that represented? Now, I've told you repeatedly that when you're dealing with the Scripture, you take the whole of the Scriptures, the whole of them, and focus them on any given passage and make sure that it's consistent, because Scripture will not contradict Scripture. Scripture supports Scripture. The message of the Bible is one. It's one God. It's one Christ. It's one salvation. And do you know what the key to this verse is? It's in that word soul. In that word soul, that's the key to it. The church has been caught out and caught up. And when that happened, we got our bodies back. We got our bodies back. This group doesn't have any bodies yet. They haven't been given their resurrection bodies. Not yet. They're just the soul. And that's why I want to speak of them tonight, and you'll see how beautifully this fits in with the total picture of what God has. I told you when we opened this passage that we'd see these terrible calamities on the earth, and every once in a while we'd get a glimpse into heaven and we'll see what's going on in heaven. Well, in the next chapter, the seventh chapter, you have the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe, and they're witnessing down here. Then you have another in that great chapter, a great vision of these tremendous saints in heaven. But the saints in heaven at that time are clothed. They have their bodies. That's the bride. That's the church. There's a view of us again in heaven. But this company, at this point, are only the souls of them that believe. And they are the souls who have been slain. They've been put to death. Just at this point, you have another beautiful confirmation of the Scriptures. We are made up of body and soul. Phuke and puma. We're made up of body and soul. And here are the bodies that go back to the dust when we're slain, and the Spirit goes to God who gave it. And at this point, you have a company of individuals who are unclothed. They're in their souls, just their souls. In 1 Corinthians 15, we speak about the first fruits, Christ the first fruits. They that are Christ that is coming. We talk about the first fruits and the harvest, and then what? The gleaning. The gleaning. And the first fruits, when Christ came, He was the first fruits. The gathering of the church up into the heavens will be the harvest. But during the tribulation period, there'll be those who will believe, and they'll be beheaded. And they are the gleaning. And they don't get their resurrection bodies. Their souls are kept here, as this scene says, in heaven. They await the time when the remainder of their brethren have also been slain like they've been slain. And they await that time. And that time will come when Jesus comes down to the Mount of Olives and His feet stand in that day, and He visibly, personally, physically returns to the top of the Mount of Olives with the armies of heaven, which are, of course, us. And we are the saints of God who will be coming with Him. And at that time, then all those who were slain, had their heads cut off, and were put to death by the beast during the tribulation period, they'll come up. They'll come up. They'll get their resurrection body. You have the first fruits in Christ, the harvest in the resurrection of the church, and then the gleanings in those who will be saved during this tribulation period. Now, beloved, it's essential that we understand the work of the Spirit of God. Did you know that in the Old Testament, all through that Old Testament period, people were saved? They didn't call it the new birth. They called it the circumcision of the heart. That's the language of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God's people were born again. They got a new nature, but they did it by the circumcision of the heart. In the New Testament, we're saved by grace and by faith the same way, but we're saved by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we have outward baptism, which recognizes that. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was there. People get the idea, well, He's only in the church. Yes, He is in the church in a very special manifestation of his power. And the Lord said that He would send Him here, and He came, and He's working in the church. But He was also in the Old Testament. And no man can call Jesus the Christ save by the Spirit of God. And in the Old Testament, those who call Jesus the Christ or look for the Messiah, the Holy Spirit gave them their faith. So He was in the Old Testament. He was in the prophets. He spoke through the prophets. And David said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So you have a ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And then we have the New Testament with the Lord Jesus Christ ascending up into heaven and the Spirit coming down and manifesting Himself in this glorious and special manner in the church. But when the church is taken up, then the Spirit of God is lifted up, and His ministry, His activity, will be of a different nature, but He'll still be here. And these tribulation saints, during that tribulation period, they will have been given the grace by the Spirit of God to die, to be slain. The choice will be so clear to them. Beloved, you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now and you won't die. But anybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ during that tribulation period and the church is gone, the moment they believe in Him, they're to be slain. Wouldn't it be something for me to ask you people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and go down here on the county square and have your head cut off tomorrow? That's what's going to happen. And we have here this picture of those saints whose souls have gone to glory, and look how beautifully it is described. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. These are the tribulation saints of the great tribulation. this beast arises and takes power. How long do you think it's going to take that old Antichrist? And here is the great man on the white horse and the red horse and the pale horse and the black horse. Here he is. And he takes control. How long do you think it's going to take him to eliminate anybody that would speak about the Messiah or speak about the Lord Jesus Christ? He's going to begin that task immediately. Immediately. Now, in the seventh chapter, you have another great scene, and it's another scene in heaven. And there's a crowd, a company that no man could number, but this crowd, this company, has on their bodies. This is the group that's been raised from the dead, and they're there in the presence of the Lord, and they're singing His mighty praise. And it said that they came out of great tribulation, but not the tribulation. Not the great tribulation. They came out of great tribulation. And Jesus Christ said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And if you don't know what tribulation is, just look at some of our troubles. We're having it. The saints are having tribulation right now. Every once in a while somebody says, last evening in Florida, somebody said to me, Doctor, he says, don't you think we're halfway through the tribulation now? I said, what do you mean? Well, what else could this be we're in now? I said, this is just the beginning. This is just a little. This is nothing. But it is tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good courage, he said. I have overcome the world. Certainly we're having tribulation. Certain we're having troubles. Jesus Christ said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. And the servant's not above his master. And if you're not having trouble because of your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with your stand. This Collingswood Church is in all the trouble we're in because we stand right. We're in all the troubles we've had because we've taken the right stand. If we just wash that out and eliminate all of it and get out from under it, as other churches are trying to do, nobody wants to get involved. Nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to have any tribulation. Be of good courage, he said. I have overcome this world. But the tribulations that we have as a church and that we have as the people of God will sanctify us. They'll bring us closer to the Lord. They'll bring us closer to an understanding of the things of God. But this is not the great tribulation. We're not going to be numbered among this little group. These tribulation saints are described here, and their souls are kept under their altar. And you stay here for a little season until your brethren and fellow servants will also have their heads cut off, and they'll be slain down on that earth because they dared refuse to take the mark of the beast and because they dared to say that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll be put to death at that moment. Beloved, you and I live in an hour when you can still accept the Lord Jesus Christ without having your head cut off. We can still do it. You and I live in a moment when the gospel still can be preached. And I can stand in this pulpit and tell you that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the days are shortening. The time of the end is upon us. You know that message this morning where this Antichrist comes and he rides on the horse that calls death. And then hell follows him. The moment death lays its hand, the moment death pronounces its judgment upon us, there's nothing left for the ungodly but hell, eternal hell, where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. And when you get into this tribulation period and you have these tribulation saints are described here, they don't have their bodies yet. Their souls are in heaven. They die, their bodies are put back in the dust here, whatever the old beast or Antichrist is going to do with them when he kills them. And their souls will go to be with our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But those of that time, the troubles will be such, the turmoil will be such, the pains will be such, that they will delight to die for the sake of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The tribulation saints will wear martyr's crowns. They'll be there because they were put to death. But you and I haven't been called upon to make that choice. Tonight you can accept Christ. Tonight you can believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is His body, and you can be a part of it. Tonight you can believe that you've been called to be a witness and a testimony to the Lord here in these last days. And you can turn yourself over to Him, and you can be that kind of a witness. There's a phrase here, if you look at it. They were slain, we read in verse 9, for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, John says, I was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Will you turn, please, to that first chapter and look what John says in relationship to himself. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. This is not the great tribulation. This is the tribulation that the Christians had of the first century. I am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom, and in the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. All John got was an exile to the Isle of Patmos. But here in this sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, when you come to the fifth seal and you see the souls of those who are under the altar, they were slain, here it is, for the word of God and the testimony which they had. For the word of God and the testimony which they held. John, for the testimony of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos. For the testimony of Jesus Christ, you and I are in Collingswood. And we're awaiting the rapture when the church will be caught up and we'll be given our bodies and the souls will be put back in the bodies of those who've gone to be with Christ. The souls will be reunited with the bodies. The souls of believers at death are made perfect in holiness and do go immediately to be with the Lord. And their bodies do rest in the graves until the resurrection. And we're waiting now for the trumpet to sound when we'll be caught up with new bodies into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then while we're with the Lord in glory, there still will be some saints during that tribulation period, and they'll have their heads cut off, and the moment they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they know that it means death. And their souls are kept there. Now let me take you one step further. Thank God that you and I are not going to be put to the test of this great tribulation. Thank God we're not going to have to go through it. Thank God we're going to be taken out of it. And when you look at this scene here, we'll be in glory and hear the souls of those who were slain because they wouldn't take the mark of the beast. I wonder how many of the people who call themselves Christians today would die tomorrow morning for Jesus Christ. How many of them would die tomorrow morning for Jesus Christ? No, you'd go out and get your gasoline first. I mean, you never saw the light. We can't even get people to leave these apostate churches for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it at all. We had a man here this morning and his wife came to see me. He's an elder in the Presbyterian Church, United Presbyterian Church. And I talked to him so long this afternoon that I came home as my entire thought something, I'd been raptured or something for dinner. And I did my best to talk to this Presbyterian elder, United Presbyterian elder. And you know what his arguments were? Same arguments that we've heard all these years. He says, "Doctor, I'm an elder in the church and I can do so much good there. And I think I ought to stay and do what good I can." He says, "I'm in a church where the preacher preaches the gospel." He says, "I know there's apostasy. I know all these things are true, but where I am, I still do a little good." And he was arguing with me and telling me that he could justify the disobedience of the commandments of God by the good he was going to do as this elder in this particular United Presbyterian Church. And I told him he couldn't continue to disobey the Lord because he had the light, he had the facts, he knew what the situation was. I tried to tell him there was no commandment just for him and another one for me. The one that hit me hit him. And we both had to obey the Lord. We both had to be separate. We both had to step out. But, beloved, I wonder just how many of the people today who are in our fundamental churches would have their heads cut off tomorrow rather than take a little stamp on your hand or on your forehead so you can go out and buy. How many of, thank God we're not going to be put to that test. Thank God we're going to be caught up to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we've come to these days when great strain is upon us, and we're having to cut back on fuel and oil and food and everything else, and we're going to start cutting back on the Lord. No, beloved, we are not going to cut back on Jesus Christ. Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. We're not going to cut back on Jesus Christ. We're not going to pull down our standards for the sake of the troubles we're having. We're going right straight down the road. We belong to the last days, and we're the little remnant of the last days that's seeking to bear its testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I read this passage, this fifth seal, and here we see the souls under the altar who were slain, and they're now speaking to me. Oh, you can get up and say, "I'll die for Christ, and I'll be a martyr, and I'll do all these things for Christ." But when the test comes, men will put their security and their money and their possessions and everything else, and they'll hold on to them to the very end, and they will not sacrifice them for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, this is a beautiful sight. After we're gone, this old Antichrist takes over in a hurry. And he's got the whole world in his hand. And then he puts his mark on it. On the human race. You don't take that mark, your head fell off. The only persons who will not take that mark will be those who will say, "Hear. Oh, he that hath an ear, let him hear." When you come to that 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, we'll get to it one of these nights. And you have this old beast and all of his great power, and who can make war with him, and he works mighty miracles, and he has all the power of the devil. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Beloved, when you and I go out in the rapture and we go to be with Christ, this old book's still going to be here. Oh yes, they'll burn it, they'll get rid of it. There'll be some people who'll be able to get this book. And I'll tell you, during the tribulation period, these people who get a hold of this book are going to read that book of Revelation. They say, "Oh, look at that. That's what's happening. Here's the white horse, the red horse, the pale horse, the black horse. There it is. Look at it. And here's so-and-so. He believed it. Let me die. Let me go to be with Christ. Let me believe. I will not bow down and worship the image of that beast. I will not violate the first of the Ten Commandments." My, what a testimony they're going to have. Speaks to us. Speaks to us. Christians, we're a peculiar people. Believers, we've become Christians. We've taken the name of Christ. We believe that Christ was here, and he was the one who the prophets foretold. And all things that were written about him have been fulfilled, and they're going to be fulfilled. And he's there in glory tonight. He sits at the right hand of power. All authority here. The great hosts of heaven bow in the worship of this Lamb. The redeemed, our own fellow members, those who've been with us in these last years in this great church. They occupied our pews. They've gone to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and there tonight. He's going to come and he's going to raise us all up. He's going to give us a new body. He's going to give us the joys of seeing his face. and beholding the Lamb of God who has died upon a cursed tree for our iniquity. And your eternity is going to be the joy of being with Christ and seeing Christ and serving Christ. All right, now one final word if you turn to this sixth chapter. You read here, how long, O Lord, holy and true? Lord, you're holy. Thy words are true. Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell upon the earth? And when you turn over to the last 11th, the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, then you see the coming of the one, verse 11. And I saw heaven open and bold on a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And then we have his clothes was dipped, his vesture dipped with blood, verse 13. And his name is called the Word of God. And in verse 18, come, he says, to the great supper, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of horses and them that sit upon them. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. That's the Lamb. And against his army. And the beast was taken, and him that sat, and the false prophet was taken that wrought miracles, which he deceived the whole world, and with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the beast. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire. A lake of fire. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. The day of final judgment, the day of final vengeance is just ahead. And God is going to pour out his wrath. He's going to bring judgment and execute that righteousness against these wicked forces that will have slain, that will have cut off the head. When will you avenge our blood? It is going to be done in that final great judgment when the Lamb comes and he destroys the beast and the false prophet and he ties up the old dragon and puts him in that lake of fire. I must close, but may I say one thing for you? Nobody has an explanation like this. Not found anywhere. All the poets, all the dreamers, all the soothsayers, nobody has an explanation like this. Only God knows all about it. And only God's been pleased to tell us of the creation, his program of redemption, the cross, the ministry of Christ, the blessed church of which we're a part because we're redeemed by this precious blood, and then our carrying us into the sky, and then the awful tribulation period when the Lamb will open the seals and the trumpets will blow and the vials will fall as we shall see. And then the tribulation saints will rise up, and when Jesus comes at that final deep coming down to the Mount of Olives, the souls under the altars, they'll get their new bodies. Beloved, I want you to know that in this great day when the hosts of the redeemed are there, here come Abraham walking down. Abraham! Here come David in his day. Here come Elijah in his day. Here come John the Baptist in his day. Here will be the apostles of our Lord in his day. Here we come down through the history of the church. And when you come to the 20th century, here's the calling church. There are the preachers who took this Bible on this earth and they spoke out against the awful forces of darkness and they stood for the Word of God. Here they are. This is our day. This is our time. This is our witness. And then the Lord takes us out. And here'll be these tribulation saints. And they'll be slain. Their souls will await in heaven while we are there with our bodies. And then the day will come when it's completed and they'll be raised from the dead. You'll have a chance to see one of those tribulation saints. You'll have a chance to see these people who had their heads cut off. They were slain. They were beheaded for the Word of God. You'll have a chance to see them. Oh, beloved, what a sight it's going to be when the final consummation comes and Jesus comes down and you look at these saints who had their heads cut off. They were slain. God put their heads back on that resurrection day. Young man, young lady, there's nothing to live for today except Jesus Christ. There's nothing to give your life and your years to now except Jesus Christ. He's the one. And the time is short. And we don't have long to serve. But oh, little flock, we've been permitted to come and see. And he saw. And we're seeing it now. Thank God. And if there's anyone here tonight that isn't saved, if you're not born again, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you don't belong to His great company of the redeemed, it's your fault. You've got the chance to take Him as your Savior tonight, and you won't have your head cut off tomorrow. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank Thee for this great message tonight. Here the old beast comes with these horses, white, red, pale, black. And immediately, Father, you let us see the saints in heaven that had their heads cut off, slain. Their souls are under the altar. And they're crying, Lord, how long, when are you going to deal with it? And Lord, we thank Thee that when Jesus reveals Himself in the apocalypse, He descends to the Mount of Olives. These dear souls will get their gleanings, get their bodies on. And we'll have the first fruits of Christ's resurrection. The harvest when the church arrives. And the little final gleaning. For those who will have believed during this awful time of wrath. Men choose death rather than the mark of a beast which will give them bread and butter. Oh, God bless us tonight. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Oh, blessed Lamb, take the remnants of this day. Keep us close to Thyself. Keep us close together. Oh, may the youth of our church, may the young people of our movement catch the vision of serving Christ and only Christ. As long as you give us breath. We thank Thee for the souls under the altar tonight and how they speak to us in the church. Amen.